and hardly seemed real. Now, as the famine deepened and the people of Duva went without, it was as if whatever waited in the woods had grown greedier and more desperate too. Lara, Shura, all those who had gone before, Betya, Ludmila, Riza, Nikolina, other names now forgotten. In those days they were whispered like an incantation. Parents sent up prayers to their saints, girls walked in pairs, people watched their neighbors with suspicious eyes. On the edge of the woods, the townspeople built crooked altars, careful stacks of painted icons, burnt down prayer candles, little piles of flowers and beads. Men grumbled about bears and wolves. They organized hunting parties, talked about burning sections of the forest. Poor simple-minded Yuri Pankin was nearly stoned to death when he was found in possession of one of the missing girl's dolls. And only his mother's weeping and her insistence that she had found the sorry thing on Vestipole Road saved him. Some wondered if the girls might have just walked into the wood, lured there by their hunger. There were smells that wafted off the trees when the wind blew a certain way, impossible scents of lamb dumplings or sour cherry babka. Nadia had smelled them herself, sitting on the porch beside her mother, trying to get her to take another spoonful of broth. She would smell roasting pumpkin, walnuts, brown sugar, and find her feet carrying her down the stairs toward the waiting shadows, where the trees shuffled and sighed as if ready to part for her. Stupid girls, you think. I would never be so foolish. But you've never known real hunger. The crops have been good these last years, and people forget what the lean times are like. They forget the way mothers smothered infants in their cribs to stop their hungry howls, or how the trapper, Leonid Jemka, was found gnawing on the muscle of his slain brother's calf when their hut was iced in for 2 long months. Sitting on the porch of Baba Olya's house, the old woman peered into the forest and muttered, "Kitka." The word raised the hairs on Nadia's arms, but she was no longer a child, so she laughed with her brother at such silly talk. The Kitki were spiteful forest sprites, bloodthirsty and vengeful, but in stories they were known to hunger after newborns, not full-grown girls near enough to marry.
"Who can say what shapes an appetite?" Baba Olya said with a dismissive wave of her gnarled hand. "Maybe this one is jealous or angry.
Maybe it just likes the taste of our girls," said Anton Kozar, limping by on his one good leg and waggling his tongue obscenely.
The old women squawked like geese, and Baba Olya hurled a rock at him. War veteran or no, the man was disgusting. When Nadia's father heard the old woman muttering that Duva was cursed and demanding that the priest say blessings in the town square, he simply shook his head.
"An animal," he insisted. "A wolf, mad with hunger."
He knew every path and corner of the forest, so he and his friends took up their rifles and headed back into the woods, full of grim determination. But again they found nothing, and the old women grumbled louder. What animal left no tracks, no trail, no trace of a body? Suspicion crept through the town. That lecherous Anton Kozar had returned from the northern front. Much changed, had he not? Pelly Yerokin had always been a violent boy, and Bella Pankin was a most peculiar woman living out on that farm with her strange son, Yuri. A Kitta could take any form. Perhaps she had not found that missing girl's doll at all. Standing at the lip of her mother's grave, Nadia noted Anton's seeping stump and lewd grin, Bella Pankin's worried frown, wiry Pelly Yerokin with his tangled hair and bald fists, and the sympathetic smile of the widow, Karina Stoyanova, the way her lovely black eyes stayed on Nadia's father as the coffin he'd carved with such care was lowered into the hard ground. The Kitta might take any form, but the shape it favored most was that of a beautiful woman. Soon Karina seemed to be everywhere, bringing Nadia's father food and gifts of kvass, whispering in his ear that someone was needed to take care of him.